Hello, so this is based on joint work with several people and a few conference papers which have matured into journal papers. One has been accepted for formal methods in system design, and the other one, where we had to fix the proof but not the results, is currently being revised, but it has been accepted provisionally. So what I'm going to introduce is a model which is probabilistic timed automata, and this is a probabilistic extension of timed automata. Now, if anyone was here last week, I was talking about a probabilistic extension of automata, and this is going to be a probabilistic extension of timed automata based on the very similar principles. So I'll show a little bit about these probabilistic automata, which because of the influence of AI, we are calling Markov decision processes. And then I'll say something about...
Not AI, OR.
OR, okay.
What's OR?
Well, planning. I should be saying planning, not AI.
The model came from the operational research community.
Okay.
As so I've learned relatedly.
Right. Okay. I have corrected that reference, so... and I think, I mean, I don't know how much time I will have. I mean, this...
1 hour.
Okay, yes, I'll have 1 hour. Okay, but the problem does not fit in 1 hour, I can tell you. The problem is riddled with problems and difficulties. And I'll show you some of them, partly in the hope that maybe there is someone who will actually look at it from a different point of view and solve it. And I'll show you our results of prototype implementations. So, I mean, why are we doing this? This is because probability is important in distributed computation. It works as a symmetry breaker, and it is also used in gossip-based protocols. But in this distributed environment, the typical mechanisms, such as exponential backup, for example, use real-time and clocks in order to measure delays, time delays. Because we are working in a distributed environment, we have naturally non-determinism because it comes from the parallel computation. So we need modeling formalisms which are simultaneously capable of dealing with probability, timing, and this special non-determinism. And to sort of give you some evidence that I'm not really making up this model. These are real-world protocols which actually use these mechanisms that simultaneously involve non-determinism, probability, in this case, discrete probability distributions, and time. Perhaps I should be very careful to say whether, I mean, it is real-time, in some sense, in the sense of counting real time, but whether that real time actually implies that we have to have dense real time in the model, or whether we can work with digital clocks, that's a separate point of view. Okay, and I would say that in many cases we can just get away with digital clocks.
So all just curious, if you look at these protocols, are you going to find a precise time, precise time bounds?
Precise time.
Do they say, you know, wait 4 milliseconds and then
that's,
do something?
Well, that's exactly what they do. But, I mean, of course, in a distributed system, you have drifting clocks. So in a real distributed system, each node will have its own clock. And these clocks would drift in relation to real time. And
right.
they typically run some clock synchronization algorithms. So... I mean, there is already an abstraction because in timed automata we cannot model drifting clocks. All clocks proceed at the same rate as time. Okay, so this is already an abstraction. It's an idealized view, you see, of the world. Yeah, but I'm really focusing on the use of probability. So, for example, in the Bluetooth device discovery, the protocol chooses a waiting time at random. For example, when the master discovers a slave can hear a slave, then the slave first waits for a random period of time and then responds. And this is in case the master has accidentally seen two slaves at the same time. And, you know, in the root contention, it chooses a short and long delay, and in the zero conf, it chooses an IP address at random. And in the CRED anonymity protocol, it chooses the path at random to disguise. Okay? Now here, I mean, this particular case, I'm focusing on the discrete probability distributions, and I will not say anything in the talk about continuous probability distributions, which are needed in order to model network traffic delays. So what the aim of this work has been for quite a few years now is to take the timed automata model, which has proved useful to model real-time protocols, and extended list probability because we want to model these protocols that I've just showed you about, and adapt the existing techniques that exist for model checking for timed automata and combine them in some sense with existing model checking for probabilistic automata. And if I look at it from the point of view of the model checker CRISM, which supports a Markov decision process verification, that corresponds to adding dense real-time, real-valued clocks to the modeling language of CRISM. Okay? So the fundamental model that I'm using is that of Markov decision processes. So, okay, so I mean, Moshe says it comes from OR, operations research. We are told planning, probabilistic planning, really. So what we have in this model is we allow a non-deterministic choice between discrete probability distributions. And each of these discrete probability distributions is a generalization of a transition. It's a probabilistic transition. So an ordinary transition would be labeled with an action, and then it would have a single target state. In a probabilistic transition, you have two target states, and each has a different probability. So, for example, if this is a firewire protocol, I'd have, with probability a half, move to a state where you wait for a long time, or move to a state where you wait for a short time. Okay? So formally, I mean, this is just an automaton, and we assume it is a finite state automaton, which is labeled with atomic propositions and labeled with action names, etc. And we can unfold it into infinite paths. Because we have non-determinism and probability, before we can actually put a probability measure on this, we have to remove the non-determinism. And this non-determinism is removed by imposing a notion of an adversary, otherwise known as a scheduler or policy in planning. Now, the idea is that once you fix an adversary, you can then derive the probability space, and you can talk about the probability of some event happening, which is derived from assigning the probability to sets of infinite paths via a standard construction. But when we talk about it from the point of view of the analysis of the protocol, what that would mean is that because each time we calculate the probability, we fix the adversary, we'll not be able to talk about exact probabilities, but we'll only be able to talk about the minimum, maximum probabilities and also expected cost in this case, because we will be able to talk about for all probability, for all adversaries or for all adversaries of a certain kind. Okay? So I take that model, okay, an automaton extended with these probabilistic transitions, but now I want to add dense real time to it. And the way that this is done is I add clocks, and these clocks are exactly as in timed automata. So clocks are special variables that decorate timed automata, and they take values from the time domain. And here I say time domain, because this time domain can be dense real time, but it can also be integer, if I want to talk about the digital clocks. So I assume that I have finitely many of these, and each clock can only go up to some maximum value. You can always impose some global maximum constant for the automaton. And now we can talk about zones. Now, typically in timed automata, you will find these zones, which correspond to the convex zones, okay, convex polyhedra. And this typically is sufficient for forward analysis of the behavior of timed automata, conventional timed automata, okay? It is not sufficient for backwards analysis. In our case, we also have to go outside the convex zones and have to work with zones which are also non-convex. But for simplicity, so that we don't have to argue, you know, with referees or various other people, we assume that these zones are in some canonical form, and we are not going to talk about the fine distinctions between...
Is there always a canonical form?
Well, there are, I don't know, I mean, maybe Parosh will explain. I don't really want to turn my head around this. Yes, they are in canonical form, but you have to be careful when you write what you mean, whether you write conjunction or whether you write the logical operation. Right, so for probabilistic timed automata, as you can see, the picture of the automaton is very similar. So this is the probabilistic transition. And the probabilistic transition, notice now, has a guard. So it has the probabilistic, you know, edges, but it also has a guard. And the guard involves a clock. So this guard says when the clock value is at least 4, that means this transition can be taken, and it has 2 target states. Now, the probabilistic timed automaton is also labeled with invariants. The invariants involve clocks. So in this case, it is true. In this case, it says that whenever the clock is less or equal to 8, the automaton is allowed to stay there. And what that means is that at every time, the automaton here will make a non-deterministic choice between letting the time elapse in this state or take that transition, but only if that guard is enabled. Okay? So, formally, okay, as you can probably guess, this is just a big Markov decision process, okay? Big, uncountable Markov decision process, where we have as states, okay, as states, we take pairs of this location. Now, I'm referring to the circles as locations to make it clear the distinction between locations and states. And V is the clock valuation, which gives the value for each clock in the automaton. Okay? And the transitions that are possible in this automaton are of two types. It is either time elapse, okay? And, I mean, the sort of the decorations are just for convenience, and the time elapse will allow the values of all clocks to elapse by a certain amount of time, providing the invariant is satisfied. Okay, so time elapse can only elapse within a location, and you have to make sure that the invariant is satisfied throughout.
These probability distributions, are they always discrete in your model?
So
the probability distribution here, it's discrete. I mean, if you...
Yeah, these are discrete. There is a model where what we allow is we allow a clock reset with a continuous, with a value drawn from a continuous time probability distribution. And there is a model checking approach for this, but it's
the kind of case studies you analyze, I mean, does the actual...
In the case studies that we analyze, they are only discrete.
Does the actual value of the probability, I mean, affect the analysis? I mean, the kind of properties you verify?
The properties, yes. Yeah, the properties, the values of the probabilities, yes, they do affect it, yeah. But for all the examples that I've shown you, they use discrete probability distributions. Now, I stress that this is not sufficient to model, you know, network, you know, traffic delays and various things. For this, you would need to have this kind of generalization I've showed you about, but that one, in the context of non-determinism at the moment, is impossible. But there are people working on continuous time local decision processes, Holger Hermanns and Christel Bayer. And so I think that will be the way forward. Yeah. And okay, so we have a time elapse or we have a discrete transition where if the guard is true, then the automaton just follows the probability distribution, and in each case there could be an individual different reset. This is a clock reset. So on each of these you can have an individual clock reset. So the clocks are really used to count time in the automaton. They can also be used to count cost. So, for example, we can also...
If you go back, I mean, somehow in the original MDP model, it became very clear that there is a system that behaves probabilistically, and you get input from the outside. And either you think that we are the good guys, we put the actions in there, and it's the world that behaves stochastically, or we get adversarial inputs, and the system has to react. Now, it becomes less clear to me who is making what decision?
The adversary.
Hmm?
Yeah, the adversary. But the adversary does not affect the probability.
But the adversary also makes the timing decision.
That's right. The adversary makes non-determinism and makes the timing decisions. But you can also model adversaries probabilistically. So sometimes...
No, but what I'm saying is it's not always clear to me in all these protocols that the weighting is done by the adversary rather than by the protocol. If it says wait a certain amount of time and then do this, right? Back of protocol.
Well, but that's not the choice that the adversary makes. So the adversary makes a choice here between the time elapse or taking that transition.
But the actions now is action plus R, right? So the actions also, the time delay is decided by the adversary, it seems.
Yes, the adverse, but of the ones that it can choose, yes. So for example, in this state, the automaton can stay in this state forever. It doesn't have to take that transition.
Time elapsed, who decide on how...
On the time elapsed, the adversary, yeah.
That doesn't strike me necessarily compelling.
Well, this is how it works. This is just standard in times automata. But, I mean, I'll move on.
Time automata is not viewed, there's no notion of adversarial there. It's just a question of path. You know, the automaton, in time automata, you can imagine automaton making the decision. It's automaton job resolve all non-determinism. Now there is a distinction here, but there are two players here. And you've decided that it's the adversary decides on the time delay. And I don't quite see why this should be the case. Why this is the right model for protocols?
Well, because the protocols run in this distributed environment where they cannot control, you know, things to do with time.
No, certain things they control when you have a backup protocol.
Certain things, yes, but they have to wait. Well, I mean, that's a big philosophical discussion for whether they are the right notions. I don't want to get involved in this at this stage. The protocols control the probability because this is how the protocols are designed. And there is also, you know, non-determinism in the system and there are time elapses in the system. Whether the protocol controls the time, I think that's a big, you know, issue. So the protocol can look at the values of the clock.
It should not be a big deal to add delays, I mean, explicitly to the model. I mean, controlled by the...
Okay, so I mean that's the view, yes. So what we also can do is we can add costs to the automaton. So for example, we can accumulate costs according to the time passage by fixing a rate. Okay, so I mean I don't know. You can either measure time delays. You can count, you know, the number of rounds, or you can count the power usage. So, for example, you know, this would say you can also attach costs to actions. In this case, I'm saying that in order to transmit, you use up that much power, and the weighting does not use any power. Okay? So we can, in addition, decorate these automata with costs and rewards. And this was Kolkenbetis and Yannakakis, ICALB 1990. And this is Bert Sekas and Tsitsiklis and Luca D'Alfaro I think more recently in the PhD thesis and several papers after this. Yeah. And so it is possible then to also, for such an automaton, calculate the minimum and maximum expected costs. See, we have to live with minimum and maximum costs as well as probabilities in these automata. Right, so I'm not sure how to get involved in this discussion. Okay. Now, in type automata, we typically unfold the automata into finite and infinite parts, but we also assume time divergence. So we assume, just basically to avoid non-zeroness, we assume that for every time point, you know, there is a greater time point. Now, at first, we started working with that notion of an adversary, okay, but that proved inadequate. Because, for example, in this case, where notice this is less or equal than 1, that's less or equal than 1, okay, so the automaton will either stay here for a Zeno path or leave. So in this case, we would have this pathological adversary. And what we do is we actually work with a more restricted notion of an adversary, where we assume that the probability of time divergent adversaries has to be 1. And that works in our case. And this is, Colin Sterling is always credited with spotting this online while I was giving a seminar. So what we have now is we have probabilistic timed automata, which you can view as uncountable Markov decision processes. Now, probabilistic timed automata, Markov decision processes have a logic which is called PCTL, and it's an extension of CTL with a probabilistic quantifier. Now, what we do now is we take the logic TCTL for timed automata and we extend that with the probabilistic quantifier in the style of PCTL. So we have this. We can also add the expected cost operator to that. Okay? What that quantifier has, it has this reset clock, so these are clock constraints, and in addition you can have formula clocks that you can count time essentially within the formula. So for example, in order to write down a property under any scheduling with probability at least 0.85, the message is correctly delivered within 5 milliseconds, the automaton will count a clock using this formula clock then until Z is equal to 5. Okay? And the semantics is derived from both PCTL and the timed CTL. Okay? And all this is standard. In particular, this is standard, though very convoluted, but it's a standard in timed automata. And this is defined in exactly the same way as for PCTL. So we say that the probability measure of the set of all parts that satisfy until, okay, now we have to take in the environment both the path, but also we have to take the valuation of the formula clocks into account. So that's what this stands for. And that has to be a correct correspondence with the probability bound for all adversaries, okay? So of course, I'm not showing you the fact that we have to build this probability measure over these uncountable, you know, Markov decision processes, but this is just a generalization of the Kant construction. Okay. So how do we model check probabilistic timed automata? Well, we adapt the techniques from model checking of timed automata. And for model checking of timed automata, the very first construction is known as the region construction. And this, the region construction, divides the space, the Rn, where n is the number of clocks in the system, into the regions which are corner points, and then this diagonal and the corner point and then the inner triangle, okay? And assuming that we can fix an upper bound on the value of all the clocks, it is clear that this would give a finite state abstract, time abstract transition system where the time...
You bound the clock, you just need to bound the largest constant.
The largest constant, yes. You have the infinite portion, yeah. You bound the largest constant. So you have the time abstract region, and this is how decidability for TCTL was first formulated, and the idea was to generalize this to a Markov decision process over the regions. And this is something that we did, and this was surprisingly easy. This was surprisingly easy to do, but the reason for that is probably not that surprising. The reason for that is that the probability and time are orthogonal. So there was really nothing particularly difficult in this result, okay? The problem with this result is it just gives you, you know, decidability, the fact that you can do it, but the complexity is prohibitive.
Just something about the history. I thought I remember an extent combination of time and probability even in the early 90s by Allure et al.
Yes, AC... is that what Allure, Kochbetis, and Dill? Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the one. But there is no non-determinism there. So they have
I see. So this is the addition of non-determinism. There.
No, they don't have the region.
So that's what you added. You've added non-determinism.
That's right, yes. We added non-determinism, yes. Yeah. But, I mean, they also have continuous probability distributions. So, yeah, so there is another result that we have, but there is no model checking, okay. Yeah, so we've simplified to discrete probability distributions, but that's not determinism. Okay, so, it works, but it has not been implemented, although it is possible to sometimes, for very small examples, to code them directly. Okay? So this was not the next example that we looked at, but it proved to be, I think, probably the most useful. Okay? So as we know for time to, many of you may know, for time to automata, there is an abstraction which works for a subclass of time to automata, which is called closed diagonal 3, and this one is based on epsilon digitization, and this is a construction which effectively reduces the clocks to the integer values. Okay? It works only for a subclass of timed automata. And there is a particular way to define the time increment. And if we look at this Rn, then effectively this automaton will proceed in these integer time steps. Okay? So again, because we have the same restrictions, there's the upper bound on the maximum constant, and there are also subset of properties. You see, for example, reachability is preserved. Model checking is feasible for those. So the idea was, can we do that for probabilistic timed automata? And the answer turned out to be yes. Okay, for a very similar class of probabilistic timed automata, the restrictions on diagonal free and closed also has to be maintained, but we've discovered that in all the examples that we had, that was possible. This is just, you can only use invariants which are of a restricted type. But in all the examples that we've had, you could write down the protocol using invariants from that restricted type. What you do not get is a full PTCTL. Okay? You do not get the full PTCTL. But what you get is minimum maximum reachability, and you can also get minimum maximum expected cost, although the cumulative cost. Okay? So the advantage of that is with this result, it is possible to model check probabilistic time automata with digital clocks directly in the PRISM modeling language. Okay? So many of these examples where we were able to do. Actually, most of the protocol examples we are doing it through this. But the problem is that the complexity of model checking for timed automata, because that depends on the size of the constants, and in this particular case, since we are using clocks and allowing clocks to take integer values, but some of these constants can actually be very, very large, because these constants come from protocol standards, and you know, we are typically working with thousands. So we are unwittingly increasing the size of the state space because we are working with a very large grid where, you know, in theory, every corner of that grid is allowed as a state. So ideally, the intuition is that what you would like to have is to reduce that to some nice polyhedra. And we haven't looked at it in the context of the digital clocks, because there could be some kind of, you know, subclass or special case. But for the symbolic model checking, that's what we have done. Now, in timed automata, the region graph construction was discovered to be not feasible. So the successful approaches to verification for timed automata rely on the use of zones. And zones are polyhedra, which are quite often, for the forwards analysis, they tend to be restricted to the convex polyhedra. And you can think about them as they are unions of regions. Okay, so you reduce the number of polyhedra that you work with. Okay, and that's the intuition. Now, there are also, thanks to people like Tripakis, there are operations that are well defined on these zones. Now, UPAL, the model checker UPAL, works just by forwards analysis, and it only works with convex zones. Kronos works backwards, and Kronos supports the full TCTL. UPAL focuses only on a subset, really works with reachability and safety properties. So Kronos also has to go outside the convex zones, and in particular it represents non-convex zones as lists of VBMs. This fact was, I mean, we didn't realize the importance of this fact until much, much later. The problem with that representation is there is no canonicity. So you have canonicity for, you know, convex zones, but you don't have canonical representation for these lists. So what happens now is, well, we thought, actually Jeremy Sproston at the time as part of his PhD thesis, well, let's take the forwards state place exploration algorithm for timed automata and adapt it to probabilistic timed automata. And it all seemed nice until he found an example in a PhD thesis by Stavros Tripakis. And by that example gave him a counterexample. So in fact, if you proceed by forwards, you do not actually get the exact minimum or maximum probability, okay? In this case, you can only get the maximum. It is impossible to get the minimum probability calculation by forward state exploration. And even for maximum, you get a bound. Okay?
How do you put the probabilities on the zones? I don't follow that.
How to put the probabilities on the zones? Okay. Yes. So we have to. So in the forwards, you start. You see in the initial state space, and you proceed by using the post operator. Okay. So you alternate between time post. So time. Well, let the time elapse within the location, and then you go by post, which is you follow a particular edge, okay? And since in a state you can have a number of edges, there are several strategies for selecting which edge, you know, to go. In our case, we have to generalize the post to take account of the probability. And this is, I suppose, the probability calculation is something that cannot be done on the fly. We actually have to traverse the whole state space and we identify a sub graph of zones on which we then impose the probability distributions calculated from the syntax of the automaton, and that is then transferred into, say, the prism probabilistic model check, anything that can handle MDPs.
But this is still more efficient than the region-based.
Yes, this is more efficient, and for this we have a number of applications, but I stress, you can only get maximum, and even for that you don't get the precise maximum. So we have the first preprocessor was using the Kronos, and then explicit, and there is also a symbolic implementation. Okay? Now for backwards, okay, things complicate even further. Okay, so for backwards analysis, it turns out that we can get both the minimum and the maximum probabilities, and in fact we can get a generalization, you know, to the full PTCTL if we proceed backwards. But we have to have these conjunctions of zones. And, I will not have time to talk about it in detail, but if you look at the details of the algorithm, because we have to go via the dual, we have, in some cases, a three nested fixed point iteration. And on top of that, we have the explosion in the number of zones from two sources. One is you tend to get more zones by proceeding backwards, okay, because you get these non-convex zones. And we also have to add these zones by... I have an example that I can show you. We also have to add these conjunctions of zones. I suppose this is how, you know, symbolic model checking in timed automata proceeds. There are these timed predecessor and there are the discrete predecessor operations in this case. A discrete predecessor is an operation that you apply to a zone and it gets you the set of all the cross evaluations, states from which we can, so it's location and state pairs, from which we can reach the state in this zone by taking that edge, and also similar the timed predecessor operation, which just adds time in a lets the time elapse backwards, but within a particular location. I'll skip that. The difficulty for PTCTL model checking is really in the calculation of the probabilities. Everything else is standard. Okay. Now, for the maximum and minimum probability, as I said, we are working within the Markov decision process, this uncountable Markov decision process, so we can reduce it to probabilistic verification by showing that it is sufficient to calculate the minimum and maximum probability, which is not as trivial as in the other case, because here we have these very powerful adversaries, and when we have to be very careful when we switch to the time abstract variant. Okay. Now for the quantitative maximum probability, so here I'll give you an example, and this is an example for backwards state space exploration. So here I am in this location and I want to proceed backwards. But the automaton will start in this state, okay, with two clocks, and we don't know, you know, what values of the clocks, and at which point, at this point, at some point it decides the probability of half to go here, the probability of half to go there, and then depending on whether one clock is above the other, it will move to that location. So when we proceed backwards by following the discrete predecessor operation, we obtain this zone, and if we continue the way that this is done for timed automata, we will never be able to find that state, which is essential in order to model this behavior that here you can start with the same value of the clock x equal to y. Okay, so in our in the case of probabilistic timed automata, in addition to adding these zones as you do backward exploration, we also have to add this zone. And you will see when I show you the efficiency of the algorithm, you will see a huge explosion in the number of zones. So we have, because we have non-convexity, so in general we have to work with lists of zones because there is no canonical representation for that. And also, in addition, we have to add these conjunctions. Well, but, so this is just for quantitative maximum probabilities, which are actually very easy in that context. The minimum probabilities are much, much harder. And the problem with the minimum probabilities is that we have this restriction to divergent adversaries. Okay, so remember, we require that adversaries are time divergent, so that there is no non-Zeno computation, and also in addition that the probability of those time divergent adversaries is 1. So it is very easy to show that if you try to calculate the minimal probability of, you know, reaching something, you know, some value greater than 1 for some clock z, then this will be 1 under divergent adversaries and 0 under all adversaries, because all adversaries automatically including non-divergent ones. Okay. So for that, this was thanks to some referee who told us to look at the way that this is resolved in a timed automata case, and this follows by switching to the dual. So when we want to calculate this, we switch to the dual operation, which uses a special value, okay? And this is a value for which there is no best value. It could be any constant C, okay? And the efficiency depends on what value is chosen, but how to choose this value is not very well understood. So it is possible with this approach to reduce by, you know, effectively matching the fixed point, so switching to the dual and matching the fixed point. And and this also allows both the qualitative and, you know, the quantitative model checking, so we can compute the actual probabilities, but we can also compute the case where the restricted case where the probabilities can be 0 and 1. Okay, and this has also been implemented. Okay, so we have a prototype implementation, but this is a prototype implementation from which I think we need to learn. I mean, we have learned some lessons, but I think we probably need to change the approach. So what we have done is we have experimental results on 3 implementations which use, I mean, 2 main protocols. There is a FireWire protocol which comes in the abstract and also in the concrete model, you know, variant. And the FireWire protocol is a root contention. It's a randomized leader election protocol where each node in a protocol will choose a short or a long waiting time depending on the outcome of a coin flip. And for that, we can also do the expected time in some examples, but not, you know, for example, in the, not using the backwards. And we've done something similar for CSMA, well-known CSMA protocol, okay? And with this, what we can obtain is this strange result, to some people strange result, but this is actually something which is coded in the protocol. And this one shows that if the protocol favors fast, okay, favors fast, which is the short wait, And this, we are working in a distributed system. It's a symmetric distributed system. So every node has to run exactly the same protocol. Okay? Then you can improve the performance of the protocol in terms of the maximum expected time to elect the leader. Okay? But you do not affect the expected time. Okay? So you do affect the expected time here, the minimum. You do not affect the minimum expected time, but you get a difference on the maximum expected time. Okay? And just to show you, the expected number of rounds. Yes, sorry, you do not change the expected number of rounds in this. Okay? So that's also, now the expected time and expected number of rounds calculations have actually been done using the digital clock abstraction. So they've been run directly through Prism. Okay? And this is the comparison that I wanted to show you. So for the FireWire, this is the FireWire example. Now the digital clocks are, if you code it as the subclass of an automaton directly in Prism, then you get a very large number of states, but this is still feasible because we are working with integer clocks. Okay? For the forwards, and this is done now through a prototype which is partly integrated within Prism, and it uses DBMs, the data structure used for real time. Okay? But for backwards, we cannot move very fast, and that's because of the many sources of complexity in there, and this is probably the example that you can show. Okay, so it explodes, very, very fast. So here you have two times, because one is we are proceeding by translation into the Prism input language. So you have the time that you need to perform the exploration and obtain the abstract Markov decision process model. And then the time that Prism uses in order to do, the adapted Prism uses in order to do the calculations. So, if anyone here is looking for open problems, I think, we really need better and more efficient techniques to do this. But in order to really, do this properly, I would say we have to work out what of the many contributors to the complexity of this problem can be avoided and how. Okay? Because here we have the three nested fixed points, and we also have no canonicity of the zones, and we also have to use the conjunctions of zones. So it's difficult to see, okay, which ones. So, many, many challenges, I think, for the future, and at the moment we are still working with monolithic models. So we work with models where we have a probabilistic timed automaton, and we can put it in parallel with other probabilistic timed automata. But once we've constructed the model, we analyze the whole model, whichever method it is. Of course, there is some kind of abstraction that's already applied, but it is only the time abstraction from dense time to zones or digital clocks. But ideally, you would like to combine it with stronger abstractions and probably symmetry reduction and compositionality. Okay? But the biggest lesson of all, especially if I think about the continuous probabilistic time automata, is, perhaps doing model checking for these very complex structures and doing quantitative model checking for these structures by doing exhaustive analysis is not the right way to proceed. Perhaps the lightweight, and in the case of quantitative analysis, the lightweight techniques involve things like simulation and statistical testing. Perhaps either an alternative, or perhaps they should be used in conjunctions. And certainly, I think we need to try to understand, the relationship and the contribution of each of these to that. So I'll just show one more slide, and this is actually an example which comes from Rajiv Alor. And remember I told you that the region graph construction gave a very easy decidability result and also an algorithm for how to proceed, but it was too complex to even try to implement for probabilistic timed automata. Now, if you want to add this clock reset with a value drawn from a continuous time probability distribution, so instead of resetting clocks with integers, as we do, you reset a clock according to some CDF in some range, which is the case that Alor, Koch, Bettis and Dill considered in 93, but without non-determinism. Now, if you add non-determinism, then you'll discover that even the region graph construction fails in that case, okay? Because the region graph construction does not give you the exact results. So what we have done in one sort of exam compare paper in 2001 is that it is possible to approximately model check this if you subdivide the region graph, okay? But we've just added an extra layer of complexity, and again, no one has tried to follow in that direction. And I don't think there is any point in going in that direction, frankly. I think we need to switch back to these lightweight methods. So, okay, thank you.
To me, what you consider to be the philosophical issues that Thales, this is for the philosophy department. To me, this is the heart of the matter. I don't know that you're solving the right problems.
No. Okay.
I mean, you're building a model. There are the protocols. If these are not the right models, you can't convince me that you proved anything about this protocol.
I wasn't trying to argue that way. It's just that I really don't. I can't answer that, online I can answer. I mean, I completely agree with you that, yes, we have to be sure that we solve the right problem, okay? All I can tell you at the moment is we have, the model that we have fits the reality perfectly, fits the protocols perfectly, well, apart from drifting clocks. Right, whether we use the right notions of adversaries, yes. That is, I'm saying just the model, yeah, but not the, without going into
so,
the.
But no, I'm thinking, take for example the Ethernet protocol, right?
Yeah.
It's a back-off protocol. You have a collision, back-off. Who decides how long to wait?
Who decides how long?
How long to wait?
The protocol.
Not an adversary.
Yeah.
Now the contention is that's an adversarial behavior. Okay? The adversary decides when to throw in a contention. The protocol decides about the time delay.
Right, okay, I didn't tell you about that. So now I think you were looking at the wrong, you were looking at the semantics of the automata. So now the
should I be looking at the semantics of the automata?
I didn't show the definition of the adversary. So the adversary chooses in this state, it chooses a time delay. Yeah.
That's what strikes me is a bit strange. It's not the way I think about this probabilistic protocol. I mean, these protocols, usually the decision about delay.
Yeah, so what's the alternative?
One has to look at the model, see, I mean, what is the correct model for this protocol? But the idea is, if I look at the Ethernet and I haven't looked at all this other thing, contention is an adversarial action. Okay? But the control of the time is in the hands of the protocol. That's why I find strange that you show me a model where the adversary controls the time.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, yes. The protocol also controls the time. So the protocol counts the time.
Right, but the protocol doesn't decide whether to what kind of actions to take to wait.
The protocol decides whether to wait. Yeah, the protocol decides. But there is also the adversary. So the protocol decides all these things, but there is also the adversary. And the adversary also has to choose the time. But I would probably disagree with you on this, you know, fundamental issue, because I'm already using an idealized notion of time, because I can't really deal with the real situation where the clocks drift and the notes have to, you know, do clock synchronization. So the real world situation is much, much more complex. No, I mean, the protocol decides, the adversary also, but there are cases where the adversary has to choose the time.
Yeah. Well, continuing on this issue, if you regarded the adversary as picking the time delays, in your model of a protocol, you could switch it around so it appears as if the protocol is picking the time to wait. So in your model of the Ethernet protocol, presumably you have a probability distribution that picks the back off, and then you constrain all the times precisely so the adversary has no control over the delay that's waited them. It's fixed essentially by the protocol. But, so in that model of the Ethernet protocol, the adversary wouldn't have any choice about picking time delays. But that is the semantics of the underlying model behind it.
Yeah, so they...
I would encourage people to go back and read Turing's paper, where he did two things. He proposed a model, and then he argued, and it's incredibly cogent and compelling argument why this is the right model. He didn't just say, here is the formal model, let me analyze it. He spent quite a lot of time convincing people this is the right model. And I think this is, it's very easy to define models. We have lots of models flying around. How many of them are relevant? That's it.
Well, you see, in this case, there is the model and there is also the technology, you know, that you use. And I think the adversary in this particular case, the model of the protocol, but the adversary represents the scenario in which the protocol has to operate. And whether I'm using, you know, the a realistic sort of representation of the scenario, I'd probably say to you honestly no, because I don't consider, you know, these various, you know, random delays. Okay, I've got certain classes.
We can continue.
Yeah. I know this will probably turn into something.
Okay. All right, let's thank Martha again for